Blog Talk Radio.
This is for that little child with no father. For that man that doesn't have a place to stay. For that little boy living with AIDS.
Can I tell you a story? Tell you a story.
You can lean on me.
There's a man. Standing on the corner, he has no home, he has no food, and his blue skies are gone.
Yes, it is.
Can you hear him crying now? My shoulder, you can lean on.
You're listening to the Spirit Alive Ministries Christian Podcast Network, your global transformation station. Good evening, everyone. I'm Apostle Shalene Cook. Welcome to Taking It to the Streets for this Monday, May 1st, 2023. Well, thanks. We only have two more stops on our transformational journey to overcoming fear and anxiety. And tonight's program is entitled Lean on Me, because tonight we will be discussing how we can help others to overcome their fear and anxiety. But before we get into the lesson tonight, I'd like to start with a word of prayer. Now, most gracious and heavenly Father, I come before your throne of grace, just praising you, God, and thanking you, and magnifying you. Father God, I pray that I completely decrease so that you might increase, Lord, and teach your people what you want them to know about you on tonight. Lord, I pray that this teaching will truly edify and encourage your saints. And Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus that if somebody doesn't know you in the pardon of their sins, that they would come on tonight and make you their Lord and their Savior. And it is in your precious and holy name that I do pray all things. Amen and glory to God. All right, let's get into the spiritual thoughts of the matter. Now, the last time we were together, we concluded the Knowing Your Adversary portion of our study, and this is where we closely examine the operations and the manifestations of the spirit of pride and haughtiness, jealousy and envy, along with the spirit of lying, heaviness, and infirmity. We then went on to totally expose all of those Jezebelite or seducing spirits, and we looked at the spirit of false prophecy, and then we rounded out that nasty little group with the spirit of divination and familiar spirits. And it was really important for me to go through these demonic spirits and explain to you how they come in like a flood when we allow fear and anxiety to rule our lives instead of our faith. And I also believe that we need to really understand the roots of our bondage so that we can allow God to totally deliver us and completely heal us. Because as I said, fear is an emotion caused by the belief that something or someone poses a threat to us. We can all remember that feeling of destruction, or that destructive emotion, or, you know, we've all had that feeling of dread at one time in our lives. And sometimes it can affect our ability on how we do things. Sometimes it hinders our ability to do what God needs for us to do. And I came to remind us tonight that fear in any area is never okay, especially when it keeps us from fulfilling God's mission for us. But now, as I've said over and over again through this study, trusting in his holy word in every area of our lives will strengthen us and help us to overcome anything if we just keep moving forward. Because now, you need to remember, family, we're not ordinary people. We are children of God himself. And when we truly believe this, fear cannot do anything with us. It loses its grip on us. You see, because we have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but we have received the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father. That's Romans 8:15. You see, but the spirit of fear causes us to weaken our resolve. It causes us to shrink back. It causes us to doubt. It causes us to stumble. But the spirit of God Almighty, it enables us to overcome whatever adversity or trouble we might face. You see, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a power. And we need to understand that fear is from the devil, and it is the enemy of our faith. See, and the reason it's the enemy to our faith is because it directly contradicts the Holy Word of God. Because like I said, God hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. That's 2 Timothy 1:7. But when we're afraid to do something that we should be doing, beloved, this is the time that we need to stop and reflect on that word of God. Because when we meditate on the word of God, it gives us strength and courage. You see, like I told you, Satan uses our fear as a weapon simply to disrupt our faith. He wants us to question and doubt everything that God says to us and everything that God does for us. You see, if he can get us to the point of unbelief, he can then move us away from trusting God. But God is the very essence of love. So when we're in him, we're safe from all the emotional damage that fear can inflict. Because why? There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear because fear has torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love, says 1 John 4:18. See? When we're in a situation and feel a cold, that cold grip of fear in the pits of our stomach, well, we're also prevented from having that peace of mind God wants us to have. See, we need to remember that lack in any area isn't God's will, especially the lack of peace. Jesus came so that we might find peace in him. He said, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. That's John 14:27, saints. That's what it says. And yes, life can send us trouble at any time. But what we need to remember as believers is this. We never, ever have to be afraid of it. Because the kind of life God wants for us, let me explain something. It's never going to be a passive or a timid life. A lot of people have the misconception that Christians are boring because all we do is sit around and try to keep a bunch of rules and regulations. I don't know which Bible you've been reading, but the life that I read that God wants for us is a bold life, a life that is full to overflowing. A life free from fear. He wants us to have a life that's filled with wonder and excitement and adventure. But most of all, he wants us to live a life of victory. You know how I know? Because John 10:10 tells me so. Because it says, the thief comes only to kill, steal, and destroy. Now, this is Jesus speaking. But Jesus said, I came that they might have life and have it more abundantly. And some translations say to the full till it overflows. So see, the Lord doesn't want us to have just a little dab. He wants us to have the full measure, and we can depend on God to always be there when we need him. He delivers us from trouble no matter what happens, especially when our full trust is in his ability and willingness to rescue us when we need help. That's when he steps in and he gives us peace. Huh. Psalms 56:3 says, what time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. Fear and, see, you have to understand something. Fear and faith don't mix. Huh. You can't be powerful and pitiful at the same time, people. Okay. Either you're going to trust God and you're going to fearlessly live for him, or you're not. But I came to tell you, to remind you tonight, you don't have to tolerate fear. Living in God's will keeps us safe from fear. You see, I also want you to get this too. Get this down in your spirit. The courage we receive from God isn't due to the absence of fear. Don't get it twisted. I'm not saying we crash and bash around with our chest puffed out and we're talking about we don't fear nobody. No. Our courage that comes from the word of God is not due to the absence of fear, but it's due to the ability to move past that fear. It's the ability to do it in spite of our fear. It's the ability to trust God in it, even in times that you don't understand it. It's our ability to know and believe and trust God to do exactly what he says that he will do. This is what victorious life is all about. So after we went through all of that last week, I then went on to share some wisdom keys to effectively get rid of this spirit of fear and anxiety. First of all, I told you to abstain from words and psych to fill your mind with fear. Why? Because the enemy uses the things that you see and the things that we hear. He uses those things against us. This is why you kept hearing me say we've got to get real and we've got to be honest and go before God and cry out before the Lord about the root, the things that really make us afraid, or the, and get to the bottom of it so that God can deal with us and them appropriately. Then I told you that we must believe and trust God's word. Now, that might sound like I'm saying the same thing twice. No, not necessarily. See, you can believe that Jesus existed, but when you trust him, that means regardless of what your eyes see, your ears hear, regardless of what your situations may be, you're going to trust God's word over all of that. See, when we trust in God's word, we build our faith by feeding our mind. See, you put out what you put in. So the more of God's word that we put in, the less space fear has to take up in our lives. Won't be no room for no fear. Be too busy, it'll be too full of, you know, we'll be too full of the word. And then I told us that we must continually pray. There is a reason that we are saved in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, that we are protected in the name of Jesus. So what I need for us to remember is we can always pray and utilize that matchless power in the name of Jesus. Because remember, all satanic spirits are subject to that name. Yes, sir. Not even the gates of hell can prevail against Jesus. And then I told us to exercise our Christ-given authority, and we have to not allow the enemy to give us or our loved ones nightmares. We have the power to pull down and cast out. We can speak against that spirit of fear. We can bind that spirit of fear in Jesus' name. We can let it know, nope, you can't have me or not one member of my family. And then I went on to tell you how you personally can begin to do the work. Like I said, you have to name your fears. And the reason I say that is because when you decide to name your fear, when you shine light on that thing, you take away the power. It has no more power. Anytime you shine light onto darkness, it has no more power. So what I'm asking for you to do is to take a step of faith, get real before our Father, and name everything that gets you down, everything that makes you afraid, everything that makes you anxious. Take it before God in prayer, and then reclaim your power over those things. You have the power to make them inconsequential by naming them and placing the name of, and placing them under the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. All you have to do is plead the blood of Jesus. All you have to do is call on that name that is above every other name. Hallelujah. And that name is Jesus. And then I told you to hold on to the promises of God. You know, the Bible says that the word of God is like a hammer that breaks a rock up in pieces. So like I said, we have to read on it, meditate on it, pray according to it. We have to let God's promises live in us. And we have to allow those promises to mold us into new creations. Because he will break every chain. He will break every spirit of doubt and fear that we have if we would simply give it to him. Hallelujah. And then when we use that word, then just surrender. You know, some of us, we want to talk to God the way, we want to deal with God the way we deal with people. You know, we want to make it, you know, we want to go up there and sound all good, you know, well, you know, God, no, just surrender. You need to surrender. Just surrender that fear to God, because that fear will hold you back from really realizing your full potential, and it will keep you from living per God's purpose for your life. So any fear that you have, instead of hold on to it yourself, you need to cast that on to Jesus. The word of God says, cast your cares on him, for he cares, okay? And you need to surrender them one by one. You know, just keep giving them to God simply, sincerely, and just keep praying. Just keep praying those things from your heart, and then let it go. And then I told you to envision your success. You know, you can speak, like I said, power of life and death is in the tongue. And as a man thinks, so is he. So if you see yourself in a better place, chances are, with God's help, you're going to be in a better place. But you have to see it. You have to believe it for yourself. Nobody, I don't care how much the other people encourage you, if you can't see God's vision for you, for yourself, because you're blinded by your fear, you will never, ever be successful. And then once you have let those fears go and you begin to believe what God says about you, you really begin to trust and know that God is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. If he tells us something, he told us because he meant it. Okay, and he doesn't go back on his word. He's not fickle like man. He can't lie, okay? So once we can begin to truly believe that we are a victorious people, that we can go boldly forward, then it's time to take some action. Mm-hmm. See, what you have to do is rise up in faith. And then you got to step out on that faith and step out toward your dreams. Now, I'm not saying that you won't encounter some challenges, but I came to tell you and encourage you to keep holding your head up high. And look, you can always take a rest in Jesus, because he tells us, come unto me, all ye who are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. So see, he doesn't want us to be burdened down and all heavy laden. So if you need to take a rest along the journey, do that. Okay? Because, see, God will get us there at the appointed time. And he is always on time. So now I want us to get to what the remainder of our program is going to be about tonight. Is we're going to look at some ways that we can help others to overcome fear, and I'm going to be asking to hear some words from our gallery momentarily. Hallelujah. But one of the things that I want us to remember before we go out, there's some things I want to give to the servant leaders and to those of us that or, you know, whether it be evangelists, pastors, missionaries. There are some things I think we all need to know before we step out there. And one of the first things is we need to be living the life that's on fire and fearless for God ourselves. Okay, because one of the most important ways to encourage others to live fearlessly is if they can watch you. Mm-hmm. So first of all, our gaze must be fixed upwards. We must be looking to the hills from which cometh our help. We have to be focused on the things above and not the things of this earth. We have to be in a position where people can look at us and say, wow, okay. They trust God no matter what. No matter what's going on in Apostle Zeta's life, she's still praising God. Ooh-wee. You know Minister Adam Tuggle? Oh, my goodness. That young man, he has been through some stuff. But every time the first thing out of his mouth is praise Jesus, glory to God. What?
Amen.
You know what? Girl, you know Minister Tina? Yeah, girl, I know Minister Tina. Girl, look here. She be making a joyful noise all over the place. She's not scared of nothing, okay, because she said, God's going with me. That's how you got to do it.
Okay? Amen.
See, we have to live that life, that fearless life for ourselves. And then, saints of God, while we're setting our gaze on things above, don't forget to look around. We need to begin to ask God to open our eyes for opportunities to bless
yes.
people.
Yes.
And look here. And I mean for real, though. For really, like as the young people say, for real, though. You know, no, well, you know, I plan on taking a mission trip next year. No, look, you need to start asking God to open your eyes for opportunities of people that are standing right in front of you right now. Okay? You don't have to go halfway around the world talking about you going to bless somebody. Just step outside your front door. So as you set your gaze towards heaven and your eternal life, don't forget to look around and start asking God to show you opportunities to bless. Also, thanks to God, before you go out there, I want to just tell you something. We have to share the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, and not trends. Hear me, though. We have to share the truth and not trends. The truth is needed at all times, especially in times such as these. What the world does not need is just empathy. You know, now I'm not, there's nothing wrong with a caring or a loving or a hope-filled encouragement, but let me tell you something, you do not, you cannot be just going along to get along. I don't care about no New Age church and, you know, and we don't do things like that no more. Well, I tell you what, do you? But I came to remind you that God's word remains the same. God said, I am the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. So you can get New Age on God if you want to, because he can have an, because trust me, he, there is an old hell that he can put you in. And I'm keeping it real. I don't have time to sugarcoat. We have to be out there telling people the truth. We cannot be telling people, oh, well, it's okay that you trust in Jesus, but then you still want to consult your spiritualist. We can't be out there telling people, oh, it's okay, you know, if you trust, you say you trust Jesus, but then you're still going to consult your horoscope. No. We have to tell them the truth at all times. And they need, look, people need to hear the amazing promises of God's word, because that's what's going to heal. That's what's going to, hallelujah, help us to overcome. Not a trend. And then I want to give you some practical ways to share the truth. And you say, well, Apostle Cook, why are you going over this? Because there's a lot of people that want to do a lot of things but have not, hear me, have not been properly equipped to do so. So I'm just going to give you a little overview, because I want us to go out there and represent Christ well. So when I say share the truth, I mean share the truth in practical ways, like share stories that'll build up their faith, you know? Learn to listen and let them talk, you know? And then you can interject stories of faith that you can show them where God is working in their lives right here and right now. And then you can always share God's promises, because we know he's going to keep those. And then, saints of God, instead of coming off holier than thou, or like, you know, you've got some kind of crystal ball into, you know, or you just hold on to God's hymn or something, and you got to, you know, try asking them, the people you come into contact with, ask them how you can pray for them. You know, I don't care if you walk up on them, saints of God. They can have a cigarette dangling from their lip, a beer can in their hand. What they don't need for you to do is to walk up on them telling them what they need to do. Because, see, you got to remember something. When we see people that are falling victim to addiction, many times that's, you know, that's because of the trauma that has been in their life. It's because of the ongoing fear. It's because of the ongoing PTSD of just living in America that they might be dealing with. There's a whole lot of reasons, like I said, people fear. So instead of judging, instead of thinking, you know, talking to them as if you already know all the answers for them, try asking them, how can you pray for them? Because then you might actually begin to get to the root of their issues. And when you do pray, you can be even more effective about praying. Now, if you don't have some promises, you know, I always hear Spirit Alive, we're big on the Word of God, the Word of God, the Word of God. Because, like I said, it's the Word of God that saves, heals, delivers, transforms. So if you don't know, I'm gonna let me share with you some promises that we can all stand on. And they're very short, so you don't have to remember, you know, try to remember this long thing. But short and sweet and to the point, God will never leave us. Hebrews 13:5 declares and decrees, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have, for he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. We can always stand on the fact and the truth that God will provide. Philippians 4:19 says, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Jesus Christ. He will protect us, and the angels will give guard over us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We know that God will protect us. Hallelujah. All you have to do is turn over to Psalm 91. Mm-hmm. You know, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High God shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In him will I trust. And you can keep going through all 16 verses. Hallelujah. Psalm 91. They call it the Psalm of protection. The other promise we can stand on is when we cry out to God, you can better believe he's going to answer us, because Psalm 34:15 says, the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. And 1 Peter 3:12 says, for the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers, but the face of the Lord is against them that do evil.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
We also have the promise that he will give us peace and joy in his presence. Psalm 16:11 says, thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. So when we're out there sharing the truth, let's share God's word. Let's share God's promises. You know, we are not concerned about the trend of the day, the fad of the day. Hallelujah. We are only concerned about the unadulterated truth of God. And then when we're going out there, we have to give strength and not sympathy.
Right.
Uh-huh. Okay, see,
amen.
You can pull a person out of a ditch if you go crawl over in the ditch with them. See, we have to impart strength to those who are hurting and who are fretful. And we have to do that with hearty, loving encouragement. Hallelujah. We have to do that with the word of God. I mean, we have to come at them with the word of God in such a way they know that we believe it. I mean, you have to be convicted in your own spirit, because now you can't go out and make somebody else believe something. if you don't believe it yourself. And let me tell you something else. Self-pity, that's a poor comforter. You know, if you don't do anything, just point them to God, the God of all comforts. Hallelujah. Just point them to Jesus, the one who gave us the gift of the Comforter, the Paracletos, the Holy Spirit. See, we have to learn how to encourage people in a way that we actually give them courage. We have to learn how to encourage people in a way that we promote fortitude, that we promote great spiritual strength. We can't be out there just doing everything, you know, just kind of writing it up as we go along. And we sure, you know, and I know a lot of people, they think when somebody tells them something, you know, they want to jump in with their testimony. Well, you know, I know exactly what you're going through because, you know, back in the day, listen. There will be a time and a place for you to do that. But if you see somebody standing before you, they're hurting, okay? They're obviously in a whole lot of pain. That is not the time for you to compare notes about your suffering. That does not build them up. Because, see, there could be a million other people going through what they're going through, but it doesn't matter because to anybody but them, about them. That's who they're concerned with. So before we go out there, we can't help others overcome their fear unless we're living fearless. We have to be, think about our motives while we're encouraging and make sure that that's what we're doing, that we're building up fortitude. You know, so many of us profess Christians, you know, we do a lot more damage than good because we aid and abet the spirit of fear through our rejection, through our hypocrisy, through our judgment. You know, we aid and abet those spirits. We invite them into the house of God and think nothing of it. But it's time that we start. This is a wake-up call. Prophetess and Pastor Vanessa said it yesterday. It's a wake-up call. We're at war, people. And if you look at the condition of the world right now, we have never seen this much chaos, this much turmoil, these many reasons to be afraid as we can see right now.
Mm-hmm.
So if there was ever a time that the people of God need to be standing up, declaring and decreeing the word of God, living like they really understand it, know it, believe it, and can testify to it. Hallelujah. Fear is going to continue to be on the rise. And all the things that fear festers and manufactures and manifests. Racism, all forms of hatred come from a place of pride. You know how God feels about pride, people. And
amen.
Then once you get into that pride, people get into that pride thing, it's real easy to slide right on into that haughtiness. Yes, 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 I'm so spiritual. I am no earthly good, but I'm really spiritual now. Woo. I'm in church at least 3 times a week. Mm. Lord, help us, Jesus. You know, we have pastors that pamper and pander to those that give the most instead of being concerned about all the sheep. So they make people feel less than like they're being pushed out on the outside, like they're there, but they really don't have a place. See, God's going to hold each and every one of us accountable for our part in this fiasco, okay? So what we need to do is check ourselves and make sure that we are, you know, we're in the right place ourselves. Thanks to God.
Amen.
So right now I'm going to open up the floor because, you know, I believe there is a way that we really need to disciple people and really deal with people so that they can truly understand that they don't have to live in fear. So I'm going to open up the floor. I see you, area code. That's Mother Givens. I see you. You've been very patient. Yes, ma'am. You are in the room, Mother.
Good afternoon. I'm just, that was a beautiful, beautiful sermon. And, you know, I just say that we should not we don't face any of our problems alone. And God himself has said, I will never fail you. I will never forsake you. And that is why we can say with confidence, the Lord is my helper, so I will not be afraid. Are you listening?
Yes.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
What can mere mortals do to me? And we can look at Hebrews 13:5-6. But
yes,
we have, a lot of us have problems, and we shouldn't actually be alone. We should at least try to help those who have problems. We may have similar situations, but when you speak and pray with someone about that problem, it does help you and it helps them as well. So I do appreciate the subject that you talked about today, and thank you for letting me speak.
Oh, you're always hot. It's our honor to have you speak. Hallelujah.
Thank you.
I'm just blessed to have you speak, and it's always good to hear from you. We're glad that, you know, you're in the house with us, and God is answering our prayers, Mother Givens. And so,
thank you. I enjoy
you know,
it so
we're
much.
We're so blessed to have you. All
thank
right.
You.
God bless you, ma'am. All right. Area code 408, last four digits, 3945. You're in the house.
Yes. Yes. Hi, Bishop Cook. This is me. Mother Matty, believe it or not, I had to go to the store, and I had my Metro phone, and for some reason it wouldn't work. I have to call 611 and find out why I couldn't get through. So when I got home, I got my Obama backup phone. I got my Obama backup phone. I said, the devil is a liar. The devil is a liar. I'm going to still tune in. So I'm on my backup phone, ending in 3945. So that's me. And I want to say hi to everyone. God bless you, Bishop Cook. God bless you, Mrs. Givens. Glad to hear you on the air, Mrs. Givens. And they all been praying for you and me too. I tell you, just I didn't get a chance to hear what you said. I missed some, but I heard enough. It's a wonderful, wonderful sermon, a wonderful lesson. And I read Psalms 1 all the time. Blessed is a man that don't walk in the counsel of the ungodly. I can't get it together and not sit in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his meditation he will in his law. I can't get it together. Anyway, he'll meditate day and night, and he's planted like a tree by the rivers of water. And the Lord knoweth the ways of the righteous. The Lord knoweth the ways of the righteous, but the ungodly shall perish. And the Bible tells you, depart from evil and do good. All these people doing all these evil things, even in the church. I mean, they're doing evil stuff to the church. And in the Lord's house, everybody is welcome. It's not no big eyes, little U's and big eyes. And it's so true, Bishop Cook. You know, we have to stand accountable to the Lord. We do. We have to stand accountable to the Lord. And people think they're getting away with it, but they're not getting away with it. Because the Lord gonna get his. He's gonna get the honor, the glory, the justice, and the reverence due to his name, because he's worthy to be praised. King David say, I will bless the Lord at all times. Praise shall be continually in my mouth. Psalm 121 say, I will look to the hills from whence cometh my help. All my help coming from the Lord who made the heavens and the earth. So I just, you know, I thank the Lord for his word, his promises.
Yes.
And we have to focus, because sometimes we get caught up in human things, problems, and just different things. But we have to focus on the word of God, stand on his promises, keep our eyes on the prize. And the prize is Father God and King Jesus. And when you concentrate and focus on the prize and keep your eyes on the prize, build your things on hope, build your hopes on things eternal. Hold on to God's unchanging hand. Build your hope on things eternal, because all this shit going to pass away. I tell you, when I get fired up and wired up for the Lord, I can't help myself. Look like I can't shut up. I can't shut up, but that's okay, because it's like fire in my bones. King David said, I once was young, but now I'm old. Never have I seen the righteous forsaken, nor their seed begging for bread. Even their seed is blessed. When you know the Lord, put yourself in the park of your sins, you know. And my mother, who have gone home to glory, she was a young woman. I lost my dad at 5 years of age, but my mother was a praying woman, a godly woman, and taught me how to pray. I wasn't even old enough to go to kindergarten. When you know the Lord, her prayers is on the throne of God's grace. Her prayers are still there. And I thank you, Bishop Cook. I thank you. For the program. I thank you for all you all support. I thank you for praying for Mrs. Gibbons and praying for me, praying for the Church of Good Shepherd, because guess what?
Always.
The prayers of the righteous avail of much around the throne of God's grace. So I just thank you right now. And I said, the devil is a liar. I can't get the program on my Metro phone, but guess what? I got a backup Obama phone. So when you see this number, it's me.
Amen. Amen.
You see this number, it's me. The devil's a liar. The devil's a liar.
He is a big old flathead liar. Big old flathead liar.
Yeah.
But let me tell you something. But what you ladies brought up some very good points, because one of the things I really feel like, you know, as servant leaders, they do is they want everybody to get their external gift. You know, oh, I think you might need to sing in the choir. What, you know, find your, no. See, what you need to do is we need, as soon as these people come to the Lord, we have to really help them to understand who the Holy Spirit is.
Yeah.
Because until they get a good working understanding of who the Holy Spirit is, they can flounder. But see, by becoming acquainted, by becoming, you know, by getting them engaged in a loving relationship with the Holy Spirit, by having them know that he is their teacher, they're not going through these things alone. They not, you know, they're going to make changes, but they're not going to be making changes on their own. God is going to be changing them from the inside out. You know, when we get them to understand they had help on the inside of them the whole time, then maybe that would help them not be so, in such a hurry to please people. Somebody heard me. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Somebody know what I'm talking about. We can't learn anything of God except by his Holy Spirit. He can't tell us anything unless it comes from God.
Yeah.
So I'm like this. If we want to gain understanding, wisdom, knowledge, if we want others, if we really truly want them to get it, then we must disciple them in a way that they never, ever forget that they have the Holy Spirit living on the inside of them. If they don't know what to pray, the Holy Spirit will help them. The Holy Spirit will teach them how to pray. If they don't know what to ask for, the Holy Spirit does. Sometimes we might not even can say any words. We can't even utter words. But guess what? The Holy Spirit translates all that. All the groans and moans and tears and all of that. He translates all of that and takes that up to the Father. See, when we get these new converts to understand that it's not about performance, but about this relationship, then I think we can begin to get to the root and really stamp out some of these things, these demons that's sitting up in our churches. Now, we got a whole bunch of live people sitting up in here. You know, Pastor Vanessa is doing an awesome study on the spirit of rejection right now. And the spirit of rejection also is one of the reasons for that spirit of fear. People are afraid of being rejected. And, you know, she is discipling people in a way that they, you know, with the word of God and through her prayer, her prophetic prayer, in a way that people can truly, you know, their chains are being broken. So I'm going to ask Providence and Pastor Vanessa to come on in the room and share your insights on ministering to those that are you know, dealing with overcoming fear and anxiety.
Amen. Can you hear me, Papa Cook? Can you all hear me?
Yes, ma'am. I can hear you, babe. Yes, dear.
Okay. My heart for this topic specifically as it pertains to servant leaders is really big. It's been big for a long time as it pertains to coming out of the darkness and coming out of the place of hiding from who you are supposed to be, who God has called you and what he's told you to do in your assignment. We are suffering a huge deficit in the body of Christ because there are those who are afraid to do what God has called them to do, and they know what it's supposed to be. They know what they're supposed to be doing. But because of the fear of people, the fear of rejection, the fear sometimes of the way of the assignment, keeps people from a place where God's purposes don't go forward the way they need to, in the time that they need to. And thank you so much for this series, Apostle Cook, because you can't teach this subject enough. It impacts us greatly on a daily basis. We see it in the street. We see it in our neighborhoods. We see it in our schools. Even us being able to be taught how we shouldn't compartmentalize our gifts. And it's not just for Sunday. It's not just for Sunday service. It's not just for the the brick and mortar. It's the things that we do in our community, the things that we're called to do in our schools, how we pray, how we intercede spiritually and naturally. And we will be confronted because there are times when we have decided to do what God has told us to do, and that spirit of fear will raise up because it's a confrontational thing to win souls. People are against truth. They don't want to hear truth. They want to twist it and make it something that it's not. There's a lot of people calling good evil and evil good.
Good.
And you have to have a spirit where you're not afraid of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so when we talk about our servant leaders and those who are called to the fivefold that won't get up, that are afraid of teaching, that are afraid of evangelizing, that are afraid to be a pastor, that are afraid to be an apostle or a prophet, and even get in the place where you start to learn what that is something that is heavy on my heart.
Teach.
And I think that this teaching is very, 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 very timely because even for us that are doing what God has called us to do, it's come up a little bit higher.
Right.
You know, Facebook fears, they have a way of coming up when you're trying to do something and it just waves its head and the enemy, you got to start talking to that spirit of fear and back it all the way down because you decided to be a true follower of gospel of Jesus Christ. And that is not just in word, but in deed. So thank you so much. This is a great, great topic. We will continue to use the word to break apart places in the body of Christ and amongst our leaders so that we can win more souls to the kingdom. God bless.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Because I'm on the air. I'm on the air. Okay. All right. Now, at this time, I'm going to ask Minister Adam. Adam Tuggle, I know my, look, I just, if you missed his program on Saturday, you missed the blessing. So we're going to go to Minister Adam Tuggle, and then after Minister Adam, I'm going to go to Minister Tina. Hallelujah. And then if anybody else would like to have a word, please feel free, hallelujah, to come right on in. Amen. Minister Tuggle?
Amen. Praise the Lord, everybody. I praise God for being here. I praise God for the word that I've heard on tonight. About anxiety and fear. One of the things that the Lord had been dealing with me about on last week, I talked about on last Saturday, I talked about a chosen generation and how the chosen generation has been on the back burner and how the untorn generation has come to the forefront of the church world. But Sunday, I was in a service, and while I heard a dynamic word from an elder, and he was talking about Elijah, and the thing that the Lord dropped in my spirit was he took me back to when I dealt with my disability. And I began to ask the Lord, why are you showing me all of these different people in the Bible, from Moses to the man with the withered hand? And he was beginning to tell me, that people in and out of the church, the problems that we face are spiritual disabilities. Some of us go through spiritual disabilities. And it's not always a physical disability, but we use those spiritual disabilities to
come on.
To tell God we can't do this. He
come
gave
on.
Me Moses when Moses said, you know, who should I say sent me? Because Moses had a speech impediment. He stuttered a lot. And
yes.
He didn't think that Pharaoh was going to understand him. And Pharaoh wasn't going to take him seriously because of his physical disability. But when we have the I am that I am on the inside of us, we can do all things through Christ, like Philippians. In the book of Philippians, it says, I can do all things through Christ that strengtheneth me. And when you get the greater on the inside of you, the Lord will lead you and guide you how to direct people in the body of Christ. It will teach you. It will show you how to talk to people. And one of the things, when I was listening, one of the things that the Lord gave to me is just listen.
Mm-hmm.
Just listen. Just listen. Sit down and talk to an individual. You know of a person that's not in the body of Christ or wants to be saved. Sometimes it's not good. It's not always good to give everybody a Bible class. Because everybody ain't going to understand it.
Amen.
If they ain't got the Holy Ghost in their hand, they're not going to understand it.
They're
going to
understand it anyway. Amen.
It's not meant for them to understand because they're not in the full knowledge of the gospel. So when you sit down and listen to them, sit down and listen to what they've been through so that the Lord can minister to you on what to say to them to lead them to him. Because if they come to you, they see something in you. They see the greater on the inside of you. They see something that they ain't got, and they want it. I had a friend, and I talk about my best friend. He's deceased now, but he used to tell me all the time when we was in high school. He said, "Adam, I come to you because for spiritual reasons is because I know you can get a prayer through. And when people see that in a person, when they see the greater on the inside of you, they'll come to you. But we, just like Apostle Cook said, we can't be so spiritual minded that we're no earthly good at all. We cannot be no earthly. We can't be so spiritual minded. We can't beat them with the word, but we can love them with the word.
There you go.
We can't beat them with the word. We have to love them with the word. What do you mean by loving them with the word? The same way Jesus loved. He didn't come to condemn the world, but he came through him that the world might be saved. We have to feed them the sincere milk of the word of God. We can't give a sinner or a non-believer strong meat because they'll choke. And a lot of people in ministry have given people the sinner man or the non-believer. We try to give them meat instead of giving them the sincere milk of the word of God. And my youngest, when he was a baby, I didn't try to give him meat. I gave him his bottle. I gave him the milk. And I held him and I caressed him when I was feeding him. And that's the same thing we need to do with people. The people that come in, we need to do that. We need to love on them. My former pastor used to do it all the time. She would literally come out of the pulpit and give you a hug. And her hugs used to be so good that you would want another one, and you would want another one, and she would love you in. And that's the same thing we have to do. We can't beat people with the word.
Amen.
We got to love them with the word.
Amen.
God bless you.
Hallelujah.
In Jesus' name.
Oh, that was good. Oh, that was, see that, see? Yes, hallelujah. All I can say is, yes, hallelujah, and amen. Glory. That was good, man, Minister Adam. That was really, everybody has just been coming, you know, that has been bringing it. Mother Givens, Mother Scott, hallelujah. All right, Minister Tina, Pastor Vanessa, I'm going to have you come back in a little bit later and seal all this good stuff. Hallelujah. Minister Tina, come on in the room.
Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you so much, Apostle Cook. I so have enjoyed your series of fear and anxiety, how important it is right now for us to get a grip on the fear and anxiety that we have going on, not only with ourselves in the world, with the things that are going on in the world that are not pleasing to God. A lot of folks who don't know God turn to the news and they turn to something that's not of God. And it gives them more fear and anxiety because they have no hope. They don't know of Christ. So whenever we're able to encounter somebody that is going through something, it's very important that we just take the time to listen and not judge without giving off fear and anxiety of our own to somebody else, but maybe sitting there and praying for them, with them, praying with them, helping them to see that God is good. Everything that's good that comes from him, anything that's not good does not come from him. And how important it is for us as ministry leaders to be able to show them the way without, like Minister Tuggle just said, without shoving stuff down their throat. God loves them too. God loves them too. Even if they're not saved, he still loves them. And he knows
that's
what
right.
they're doing. It's not for our, place to put them in. Keep reminding
their
them
place.
Of what they're doing either. Being able to sit with them and pray with them and tell them that God has this. This has all been prophesied over the years, thousands of years before we were even here. And that we are here to just guide them through the way, and that Jesus is the way through the Father. Amen.
Yes. Amen. Ooh, all right now. All right. All right. Apostle Zeta, come on in the room. Did we lose you, Apostle Zeta?
No, my daughter just came to pick us up for dinner, and I'm about to get in the car, but I can still have my expressions, I think.
Yes, all right.
Okay, I'm getting in the car, turning out the lights here. Okay, yes, everything that I heard was really right on. Concerning fear and anxiety, people have many reasons for for going through their fears and even having anxiety, especially those that are have been in abusive situations.
Yeah.
You know, they're sometimes even just afraid to go home because
right.
they don't know what to expect. And so, you know, but there were a lot of good points that were brought out, just
yes.
reminding us of the things that we can do for them.
Yes.
And one is to pray, and to pray not only for them, but along with them.
With them,
and,
yes.
Those that don't know how to pray, we have an opportunity to teach them how to reach God. And, of course, those that don't know him, we have an opportunity to lead them to him and
that's
help
right.
them to know that they don't have to live in fear, that God is always with them. He's never going to leave them nor forsake them. And so these are some of the things that that I heard that really are important. We show them our love, you know.
Yes.
That goes a long way. Also scripture, you know,
yes.
the truths that are saved. We can direct them to the Word of God and help them in that way. Also, we can quote scripture to them, find passages for them to read. Like you mentioned, the 91st Psalm, and one mm-hmm. of the ones that I used to say many years ago when I was in fear of my own self, I would quote, I sought the Lord, and he heard me and
yes.
delivered me from all of my fears. And I think I quoted it enough that it became reality to me.
Amen.
Help me. Okay, it's going to be a little noisy here.
I saw my mother.
Okay. Well,
all right. Well, we love you.
Okay. Well, thank you.
Thank you, Mother Apostle. Hallelujah. God is good. He is just good. Yes, he is. Thanks to God. This is a topic that we cannot talk about enough. We cannot express enough. And, you know, it really doesn't take a whole lot to bless. You know, it doesn't take a whole lot to listen. It doesn't take a whole lot to pray, you know. And we need to just start becoming more accountable to the Lord again when we see people. And we can, and we even, if, you know, if something is laid in our spirit, you know, we can begin to pray about it. I mean, if I had a young woman come into my congregation and she's got on a turtleneck sweater in July and sunglasses, I don't need to make a public announcement and draw attention to her, but something in me is going to say, I need to pray. So we don't have to always make a big production out of what we do. It is the simple things. It is just the paying attention to people. People who feel, you know, they are afraid because they feel rejected. Do you know just what you just stopping and showing them a little love and compassion? That can begin to heal that spirit of rejection. Do you know, for somebody that is truly, you know, you can see people that are, you know, they're over the top proud and haughty. They, you know, they have to be the center of attention. They have to be, you know, bigger and better than everything. But if you ever stop to think about it and just say to start saying to them, you know what? That's great, but even if you didn't have that, or even if you weren't that, I would still love you. You know, when we encourage people to be their authentic self, hallelujah, then we can begin to help them to heal and come out of hiding so they don't have to walk around being afraid that people will not, well, you know, somebody's going to find out that they're not where they think they should be, or you know, they're not as good as the next person, or they're not as spiritual as the next person. Look, we all sin and we all fall short of the glory of God. God has begun a work in us that he will perfect, the Holy Spirit will perfect until Jesus returns. So we're all going to have something in our lives that we're going to need some help. And so when you're out there, just think about it. What if you were hurting and or you were afraid or you were going through a scary situation? How would you want to be treated? You know? And if we are to love one another as Christ loves us, people, we have to start fighting for one another and with one another in the sense of we must band together in unity. We must circle the wagons around the hurting. We must circle the wagons around those who are lost. We must circle the wagons around those who are being beaten up and thrashed about by all these demonic spirits. We have to begin to pray, cast those things down, pull them down. First and foremost, we must make sure we lead as many people to Christ as we can. Because like Minister Tucker said, you can't expect a sinner to act like a Christian. They have no clue. They have no clue. And Christians, when we're out there, you see, we perpetuate that fear because when we meet them, we start immediately talking to them. As Minister Tuggle says, if they've been sitting up in a church somewhere all their little lives. So I want us to just stop and think of ways that we can, you know, stop and think and pray to the Lord and ask the Lord to show you ways. And like Minister Tuggle said and I said earlier, listen, don't be so spiritual that you're no earthly good. Learn how to listen. Humble yourself. All of us need to be humble. Have a reachable, teachable spirit ourselves. You know, somebody might be going through something that we may not have had to go through. But you know what? My mama used to say, well, just keep living. So we need to show more love. We need to tell people the truth. We cannot sugarcoat it. We cannot say if something is contrary to the word of God, that's a nay for us, point blank, period. There is no in between. There is no Jesus and Buddha. There is no Jesus. It's not Jesus and Hare Krishna. It is not Jesus and the tarot cards or the mystics or the wizards. It's Jesus and Jesus alone. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And there is only by one name that we can be saved. And that's through Jesus. So right now I'm going to ask if Pastor Vanessa would come back in and pray for us prophetically. And then I'm going to ask if there's anyone present in the studio or in the chat room. Maybe you know, right now, you know, you're getting up that courage. You know what I'm saying? Maybe you heard something tonight that says that you know, you say, yeah, I can do this. With the Lord on my side, I can make it. Well, I'm going to give you an opportunity to do that. But I'm going to ask Pastor Vanessa to come forth and to pray prophetically, and to pray to prepare your hearts to receive Christ. Pastor Vanessa? Hit your button, Pastor Vanessa.
Okay, yes, ma'am. I'm back. Okay. I'm here. I just hope you can you hear me?
Yes, okay. I can hear you, dear.
Okay. So I'm closing and sealing it with prayer. Okay. Father God, thank you today for this message. Thank you for this timely message that hits the target. Thank you, Lord, today.
You blinked out. The devil is alive. Pray, saints. The devil is mad. The devil is mad.
The blood of Jesus. The blood
we
of Jesus.
We plead the blood of Jesus right now
the
devil is a liar.
The blood
Hallelujah.
Of Jesus. The blood of Jesus.
We plead it
Hallelujah.
Right now. Father God, we bless your holy name because some shackles are falling off right now.
In the name
Hallelujah.
Of Jesus. Oh, God,
Lord,
we praise
Lord
you,
Jesus.
God.
We praise
in the name
you, Lord God.
Oh, God, hallelujah.
All
we
right.
bless you right
well, while
now in the
wait,
name
while
of
that,
Jesus.
That, while God clears
hallelujah.
That up.
Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Maybe somebody
thank
wants to come right now. Maybe that's God's
thank
way of
you,
saying,
Jesus.
You need to come now.
You
need to come right now.
Hallelujah.
You might
hallelujah.
Be sitting in our presence
you,
right
Jesus.
Now, and you are
thank
ready
you,
to give
you,
your life
the blood
to Christ.
Of Jesus. The
yes.
blood of Jesus. The blood
we
of Jesus.
Just want to
the
say
blood
thank
Jesus.
You, Lord.
The blood
thank
of
you,
Jesus.
Lord.
The blood of Jesus.
Yes,
hallelujah.
We plead it. We
oh,
plead
God.
It. All right. If you're sitting here, you're within the sound of our voice. We will get Pastor Vanessa back in the name of Jesus. But right now, if you're in the house and you are ready to give your life to Christ, if you're ready to live that bold and courageous life in him, ha, I'm saying come on in the room. Now, beloved, you don't have to get all dressed up or wait till you get fixed up. Mm-mm. And you don't have to be afraid of being rejected. You don't have to be afraid, hallelujah, of ever being unloved again. Because right now I want to introduce you to Jesus, the one who loved us first and the one who loves us most so much that he laid down his life so that we can live eternally with him. And all you have to do to receive him is to bow your heart and sincerely go before him and just say, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. Please forgive me of my sin. Hallelujah. For I believe that you are the Son of the living God and that you came and you died and you rose just for me. And I'm just ask you to come into my life and to save me for your name's sake. Hallelujah. And Lord, I want you to teach me your ways. Help me to be strong and courageous in your word so that I might help others. And I pray this in your holy and righteous name. Amen and amen and amen. Hallelujah. Now, if you said that prayer on behalf of myself and the entire Spirit Alive family, we want to welcome you to the family of God. Hallelujah. And as a minister, you heard Minister Tuckle say, you are no longer on the outside. From this day forward, you will begin to learn the things of God because the moment you made Jesus your Lord and Savior, hallelujah, he placed in you his spirit, hallelujah, to teach you, to help you, to lead you, to guide you. So you are no longer alone. You don't ever have to be afraid of being alone again. You don't ever have to be afraid of anything again. And remember, not being afraid is not about not having fear. It's about not letting it stop you from becoming and remaining all that God wants you to be. So at this time, I'm going to once again check on my dear sister, Pastor Vanessa. Pastor Vanessa, did we get you back, beloved?
Yes, ma'am. I'm here. And just all this right. phone is. I do apologize. I do apologize. I'm
right.
gonna. I pray. I'm gonna pray for the program. One thing that I heard right away, God was saying, giving us a new spirit of boldness. A new spirit of boldness to confront those things as it pertains to the spirit of fear and what it manifests. I thank you, Lord, today that we don't have to be afraid of the things that we see and discern in the world because it's full of darkness. And I thank you, Lord, today for showing us that we are light and we're salt. And I thank you, Lord, today that sometimes salt is not something that people are inviting, even when it comes to people like bland food. But I thank you also today that salt is going to get the attention and it's the savor. It's why we're here,
yeah.
but also light. Some people don't like the
yeah.
light on. They like darkness. So I thank you, Lord, today that as we go through this earth and we are sojourners, knowing that we don't
yeah.
belong here, but you have put us here for a reason, that you encompass us with your peace and love. We bring and change the atmosphere. We bring the atmosphere
yeah,
of peace
yeah.
and justice and righteousness, and some people will discern that and confront you. You'll feel it spiritually. But thank you, Lord, that we gird up our loins with your peace. Thank you, Lord, today that we just gird ourselves up with your word, that we walk our word out. We see ourselves the way you see us, and that we see those we're called to help the way that you see them. Because if they're struggling with fear and trepidation and dread, that we begin to surround them and comfort them and strengthen them and encourage them
mm-hmm.
and pray for them. Because some
yeah.
of people have huge assignments, and some people have assignments that they have to do alone. In the physical, but spiritually, Lord, you're with them, and our prayers
yes.
are with them, Lord, even as it pertains
yes.
to different
yes.
types of ministries and the things that you are evolving us into and revolving us into that is new
mm-hmm.
for some of us. We don't want to do something that somebody else isn't doing. I thank you,
mm-hmm.
Lord, today that we know that everything that you have called us to do comes from you. It has purpose,
yes.
it has meaning, and it needs to be released
yes.
when it's supposed to be released. So I just thank you,
yes.
Lord, today for each one of us hearing this message. We'll have a new level of boldness and focus in the name of
yes.
Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Amen
and amen and amen. What a wonder. You know what? All flathead Satan is man or he man. He has been exposed. He has been exposed. He has been exposed. Yes, he has. But you know what? We have one more final showdown with him next week. Hallelujah. When we bring you the last message in this series. Hallelujah. Because, saints of God, we need to get bold. Like my sister said, we need to be bold, bold, bold. And we need to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. We cannot walk around like we are second-class citizens when we are children of the Most High God. We cannot be ashamed of our Father down here because he said if we're ashamed of him down here, he won't know us up there. So we need to come up. We need to check ourselves and then look around and see if there's somebody else we can help. I once again would like to thank all of the beautiful servant leaders here at Spirit Alive. I want to thank Mother Mattie Scott, Mother Givens. I want to thank, hallelujah, Minister Adam Tuggle, who is a phenomenal young man of God. Thank you. I want to thank you, Pastor Vanessa. Hallelujah, you always bring it, of course, to you, Minister Tina Brown, and to you, Apostle Zeta Flowers. I just want to thank you, family, for always being in the house, always willing to share a word, to drop a nugget that might help someone. Hallelujah, along the way. So you have indeed been listening to Taking It to the Streets. Our study on overcoming fear and anxiety. On tomorrow, you can listen to Bishop Lester Carver as he brings you Tuesday teachings, which airs at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. on Wednesday. You can listen to Apostle Zeta Flowers as she brings us her Bible study, All Nations Bible Study, also airing at 6 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. And then, hallelujah, you can, if you want to hear more of this anointed young man minister, Adam Tuggle, you can listen to him every Saturday, 12 noon Eastern Standard Time. So on behalf of all of us here at Spirit Alive, we want to thank you all for listening. For those of you that were in the chat rooms, that were listening via your computers, that listen via Skype, God bless you. We pray that you continue to have a beautiful and blessed week, that you acknowledge Christ in all that you do. And from our household of faith to yours, it is our fervent prayer that you be ye transformed. Good night, and God bless you from all of us here, family and friends of Spirit Alive. God bless you, everybody. Good night. I love you, Mother Matthew.
God bless.
Love
good
you,
night. Love everybody.
Love you.
Love you
all.
Love you.
Love you
all.
And thank you. And thank
you
for your prayers for Mrs. Gibbons and keep the Scott family in prayer. Yeah.
Well,
yes.
We are, Mother. Don't worry. We will. We love
God bless you.
Good night. God bless
you,
Mr. Adams.
God bless you.
God bless you.
Again, thank you for your prayers for Mrs. Gibbons. Thank you so much. Thank you.